You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, welcome to the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Whitman, joined, as always, by Emily Cannell. Emily, I ask you here, do you prefer very, very hot, humid weather or very, very cold, frigid weather?
I think I prefer very, very cold weather because generally, if it's very, very cold, you can do more things to stay warm. Also, you generally get a reprieve inside of your house. But if it's really hot, like even if with air conditioning, it can like infect the home, especially because we've got a dog that likes to be outside constantly. So we always have to have the door open. So I will pick very, very cold because I really like blankets and like fuzzy socks and things like that.
Yeah, I don't like the going outside and sweating immediately. I don't like that.
I'm here now. My internet, it's really good, as we know. So okay. This will be fun. Great.
We'll barrel right through this. Today's show, just so people know, we're going to talk about some Brian Windhorst rumors that we're going to aggregate. We're going to talk about Doc Rivers still being the coach for now, Danny Green being himself. And then in the second half of the podcast, we're going to do a year in review for Matisse Thybulle, which will be great, and look ahead for what is going to happen with him and what should happen for him and all of that. To start off, Brian Windhorst was on an ESPN radio show, and he said, in part, I promise you, who's promising some guy, not me, that Daryl Morey has big plans to acquire another star. He later said to Mike Greenberg that this star is potentially at the end of his contract. He said that the lottery plays a big role in it, so the player would be on a lottery team. Now, you know, most of the available stars would be on a lottery team because they're not, you know, lots of the stars that would be available aren't going to be on good teams. These guys sound like they would be Zach LaVine, who is now a free agent from the Chicago Bulls, and reports are out that he's going to take meetings and doesn't seem, as of now, likely to re-sign with Chicago. As of now, the Sixers would need to make that a sign-in trade, and there's also a report out that the Sixers, that the Bulls have interest in Thybulle, so that would obviously the Sixers would need to include more salary than Thybulle. Also, Bradley Beal is an impending free agent. He, I believe, has a player option situation. In the lottery again is the Oklahoma City Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as like a sleeper target. What do you think about these guys, especially LaVine and Bradley Beal? And so let's just start there. Are you leaning anywhere in terms of Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal? Obviously, it would be nice to get those guys. And what about the conversation of like, do you just want more depth on this team? Or would you, you know, it's not surprising that Morey would want to go ahead and get another big star, but obviously it's like, do we even have a, another big star on the team with Harden, or you know, assuming he's going to be here? Like, what do you think of this rumor?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to choose between those guys, like I would pick Zach LaVine. I like Zach LaVine a lot, but I don't really think that going star hunting is the way to build this team. Like, we didn't lose in the playoffs because we didn't have a star. We lost in the playoffs because we don't have anyone on our bench that can play basketball. And if you look at the teams that are in the conference finals right now, I don't feel like any of them have like a big three star situation. Like, I mean, Miami's got Jimmy and Bam, and Boston has Jason Tatum, and I guess, I mean, Jaylen Brown, like, I don't know, not who else. Like, I mean, they're like hurting when they lose Robert Williams. Like, they have these guys that they've like built up in their system, and then it are just like really good players for them that aren't stars. And then on the other side, you have Dallas, so you've got Luka with a deeper bench and people who can make threes. And then you have Golden State, which they've just been together forever. They're just kind of like the Patriots of the NBA. Like, they just have this dynasty situation with Clay and Steph and Draymond. So they're a little bit different, but the other ones that are like newer to the party, none of them have like a big three star. Like, some of them have a debatable big two, and they just have really deep benches and teams that they've developed. So I really think that's the way to go. I'm not really concerned about getting another star. I just want like serviceable role players, like younger guys that are good, that can make leaps, that we can develop. That's to say, I don't really know anything about like our development system. Like, maybe it's not good, and that's why we can't get any people that we draft lower than like outside of Maxi to do anything useful.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not sure, you know, it becomes a question of what the cost is, you know, because, would I trade Tobias to get Zach LaVine or Bradley Beal? Of course I would do that, and include picks or whatever that are down the line, because this team is trying to win the title now. And if this compromised Harden is who he is, and he's not going to be able to score like we expected him to be able to score, then of course I would do that. But what I'm not really interested in doing is kind of like moving heaven and earth to get those guys and sacrifice a guy like Maxi to do that. Like, I guess I'm not that interested in that. Yeah. So I think we're probably going to agree on that. Like, I'm not trading Maxi, who I really think is on a star trajectory now and getting paid nothing. And we know Embiid loves him, and he meshes great with Harden and Embiid already. Like, to me, I'd rather build out the roster with those guys and like actually have depth and have move Tobias if you want to, and like break up that contract into two role players and all of that kind of stuff, rather than trading him for another guy, who might not fit as well, who might not improve, like who, I don't really, and listen, you might not, then that might be your answer. You might not get those guys then, because the Sixers don't really have much to trade otherwise. And that honestly, unfortunately, is just where they're at, because they don't have a ton of attractive stuff to trade, and they traded some of their stuff for Harden. But I think my answer is probably no on trading Maxi. Like, you know, and so you agree on like, you know, there is, it's not that I wouldn't trade him for anybody in the league, but in terms of those names, like, I guess I just don't think that any of them are like absolute no doubters enough for me to trade him. And now we're looking at Harden and those guys and Joel. And yeah, I don't know. I think I just believe in Maxi enough, especially after the leap he just took this year at his age. I think we could very reasonably expect another leap this year, and God knows what that's going to look like. So, like, you know, I, you know, I'm very bullish on what he's about to look like.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I don't know, like, who is a player that you would trade Tyrese Maxey for? But like, I guess it's a hard question, because like any player that you might trade Maxey for is like completely illogical. Like, the other team would not do that trade, right?
Yes. Yeah, like, obviously you're doing it for Luka or Steph, like, or, you know, any of those.
I'll trade
top...
Maxi for, like, Devin Booker. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
but, like,
the first team
happen.
All-NBA guys, you're doing him for all of those guys.
But, like, a realistic trade, I don't think that there's one that I would ever throw him into.
Like, are you doing it for Dame?
No.
Like, after all the injuries this year and how bad he looked on the court this year, at his age, I don't know if you are. And also, what's he doing next to Harden at this point? Like,
yeah.
Because Harden is basically only a point guard right now because he's not doing anything off ball. It's kind of weird. So,
like, at the beginning of the season, my answer is probably different. But
totally,
after this,
totally. At the beginning
not.
Of the season, before Maxi did what he did this year, you're doing that. I think you definitely would have done it before for Jaylen Brown, but I don't think you're probably doing that anymore. You definitely do it for Tatum. Tatum's a superstar. You do it for Tatum. But the list is pretty small at this point because of just his age and his trajectory. You do it for Ben Simmons, totally, because he loves makeup. I mean, you know, like, obviously, like, the top tier guys, you do it. But the guys in this conversation, you know, like, you know, Levine's one all-star team, and I really think he's very good. Like, I would do a lot for Levine. I'm very high on him and his ability to score, and his, I think he would play really well with Joel. So that's interesting. The other thing that Wendy said when he was doing these hits is that he said, I think the Sixers would be comfortable with Doc Rivers returning, but I don't think it's as open and shut as Daryl wanted to present it. Now, the Lakers, that's the team that has been reported to be sniffing around Doc Rivers and sort of holding out for, like, what's going to happen with Doc. They have basically announced through the media their finalists here. They said that Darvin Ham for the Bucks assistant, Kenny Atkinson, the Warriors assistant, and Terry Stotts, who used to coach the Blazers. Those are their three finalists. Today, I think Woj reported that Juwan Howard, who coaches the Michigan Reed, he turned them down. So they tried to get him to at least interview or even try to coach them. And he turned them down. So clearly that means that they're not totally comfortable with their list and they're reaching out to bigger names. I don't know, like, are they gonna, with LeBron at his age and after the season they just had, are they just gonna, like, hire Darvin Ham? Like, seems a little,
hilarious name.
Right, it's a hilarious name. And I'm sure he's a good assistant and could be a really good coach, but it seems a little, like, blasé to me that they would just hire some, like, assistant for the Bucks. So I don't know. Now, this is absolutely, I must admit, wishful thinking on my part to be like, you know, there's no reports about Doc lately, so and I'm, like, reading everything as it feels like they want Doc, you know. But I don't know. You know, the longer that they go without officially hiring someone, the more I'm thinking, like, it's kind of a staring contest. I think it's pretty clear that the Sixers are not going to fire Doc. Like, they don't want to pay out that contract and just fire.
Right.
So they either want the Lakers to trade for Doc, like, and give up a second round pick to trade for Doc and just consume that contract, where the Sixers would no longer be liable for it. Or for Doc to basically resign from his post in Philly because he has a contract waiting for him in LA. And that's, I think, the only way that Doc's not the head coach. And that's, you know, that's I think where it's at. Like, you know, what's your read on this? Do you think this is pretty much over? Like, do you think that I'm overly wishfully thinking about this, or do you think that there's a good chance that this goes our way here and Doc ends up coaching the Lakers?
I think that the odds are that he'll be in Philly next year. I just don't think that the Lakers job is that desirable. I don't know. I feel like you're basically just a figurehead for LeBron's team. I don't know how much, like, coaching you actually can do for him. He just seems like he's kind of an entity of his own. Like, what is Anthony Davis at this point? It doesn't strike me as like a desirable job. I mean, I know it's the Lakers and it is what it is, but if you're looking to win something, I don't think you go there. So no, I guess he can play golf. That's what he can
this
do.
This is really then. This would just be Doc going back to LA because he likes it in LA, and just him like heading back there because he likes living in Los Angeles and misses the restaurants and golf scene. So you think this is more basically like Sixers fans wishing for it than actuality?
I think so, but I could be wrong. What do I know?
We need a real report.
I'm not windy, so.
Yeah, we need a real report. Although it was nice to see a real reporter say like, it's not as open and shut as Daryl said it was, which I think would be the case. So what did you think of Patrick Beverley after the Suns unbelievable game 7 collapse? Really tremendous stuff.
They lost. Thank you to that 100. For the Suns for that, yeah. Collapse made us look not as terrible. It's good.
They did.
We weren't the number one seed, you know, so I couldn't. Right.
Patrick Beverley just absolutely hates Chris Paul, and good job by ESPN getting him on there the day after. And he's just and he loves James Harden. That's his guy. I mean, he's talking about how Harden deserves Supermax, and literally no other human being is saying that Harden deserves Supermax. So he gets on there and says that Chris Paul is a cone and like can't guard anyone, and he's just like a piece of shit. And it's just a hilarious Patrick Beverley just being a total hater, and I just think it's great TV. I think that he's wrong about tons of stuff on there, but I love it. I think it's great for television. What did you think of, just in general, before we move on to Danny Green, like, what did you think of Pat Beverley on there?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've always been a big, like, Pat Bev fan. I just like how annoying he is to everybody. He, like, gets under people's skin and, like, the worst way, and I just find it so enjoyable. Like, even like against the Sixers, I think it's fun to watch. Like, I just love a guy like that. So I didn't think it came out of left field, like knowing how he is like on the court and any like post game things. I thought it was hilarious. I like, it's good to have a couple like loose cannon. Well, never know what they're gonna say, like not afraid to give the party line or not give the party line, and like, right. Be like, oh, I respect everyone in their play. Like, I just think it's fun. Like, I don't know, I thought it was funny.
I mean, you know, people talk about loving Mike Scott or George Niang. Like, if Pat Beverley was a Sixer, people would be losing their minds with the way that he is on the court and off the court and like in between whistles. Like, people would,
we could use a Pat Beverley, honestly.
I know. So anyway, Danny Green goes on his podcast, and I guess he likes Chris Paul or hates Pat Beverley, and he was very upset, or he seemed upset, I don't know. He said, people target you too, Pat Bev. You ain't playing no fucking defense out there. You ain't stopping Luca. Time to time I hear Luca call yo ass a little man and say he's too fucking small and go right at you every chance he got. Now, Luka's like the best player in the game. So I mean, this is like cherry picking a little bit, but so then Patrick Beverley took a screenshot of the lowest field goal percentage allowed as the closest defender, which has him second behind Giannis, allowing 41.9%. And he sent it to Danny Green, and he said health and wealth, which is very funny. Way to say it. And Danny Green immediately walked it back. Just immediately. Danny Green goes, all love, bro, nothing personal. We all talk our shit. Keep doing you, a champ. Like, okay, why were you talking so much? And then the second he responded to him, Danny Green was like, hey man, love you so much. Like, don't worry about it. So any thoughts on Danny Green for some reason jumping right in the middle and then seeing himself immediately out?
I mean, I'm fine with him jumping in the middle, but if he's going to jump in, he's got to stay in the water a little bit longer. Like, I need a little bit of back and forth to make it fun. I'm totally fine with it. You know, Danny Green is our, like, media loose cannon. So if he's going to go off, then I think he should kind of, you know, stay in a little bit and let the back and forth develop for some off-season fun.
I totally agree. Like, he was talking so aggressively in that clip. And the second Patrick Beverley said anything, it was almost as if he was surprised he heard about it. Like, and he's like, oh, yeah. Never mind. Sorry about that. Like, all right, well, take it back. He said, all love, bro. It's like, was it? He seemed so upset. all right, we're going to take an ad break, and then we're going to talk about Matisse Thybulle. We're going to do a year in review from a completely turbulence-free year from Matisse Thybulle. And talk about where we can go from here with Matisse. And we'll be right back. Here's the ad.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, we're back. Matisse Thybulle, this week, we got news about the all-defense teams. The first team was Giannis Antetokounmpo, Mikal Bridges, former Sixer, Rudy Gobert, Jaren Jackson Jr., Marcus Smart, and the second team was Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Robert Williams III, and Matisse Thybulle. First of all, what did you think about Matisse making the second team? I'll just say, I don't think he should have made it. I think if the Sixers should have made the all-defense team, it should have been Joel. And, like, Matisse has some insane skills and all of that. But I just think that Joel carries so much more of a load on defense and was asked to do so much this year without Ben. And Matisse was too, but he just was unable to do it for a lot of reasons. While Matisse had some good games, he also had some pretty ugly games too, and was unable to stay out there a lot. And, you know, so Matisse has some really flashy plays and Joel doesn't have as many flashy plays, but I don't think this was as deserving a year for Matisse as like last year was. So what did you think of Matisse making it this year?
Yeah, I agree with you. And not like surprised that he made it. There's just a lot of talk around the media about Matisse's defense. But I think that I feel like a good amount of the votes that he got are from people who see those flashy clips on Twitter and don't actually watch the full games and see, you know, how he also has some like really lapses on defense. And like you said, he sometimes can't be out there. I don't think he played as many minutes this year because of that. But for sure, he has like some insane steals, insane blocks, like all the time, like has some really fast hands, but it's just not consistent in the way that someone like Joel is consistent on defense. I think that, you know, people just don't go at Joel. So he doesn't have the play, like the flashy plays, because they just avoid putting the ball up near him. So it's like a different kind of defensive presence. But I'm not surprised that he got second team all defense. I'm happy for him. It makes his trade value better.
Right.
So good for him. I don't care.
Yeah. So what did you think, just sort of anecdotally, what did you think about his year? You know, like, so the Sixers don't have Ben, obviously, this year at all. And Matisse has to step into a larger role. And what did you think of this? Like, what did you think of the year from him? Like, I think that speaking about it in a fair way, you know, there's this big moment which happened towards the end of the year, which with the vaccination thing, which I think was totally, it all fell off a cliff from there. But before that, I think it was pretty fairly like up and down. The offense did not improve whatsoever, which I think was really disappointing. You know, going into this year off the Olympics, you were really hoping to see something change. And we'll talk about his stats after this, but like, there were some highs, like the game he had against Steph Curry and Golden State was, I think, the best game I've ever seen him play. Like, that was such a statement, I thought, from him. Like, Steve Kerr called it like the best defense he's ever seen played on Steph. Like, I thought it was tremendous in that game. He was everywhere, and he like really settled down and just unbelievable. But there were just too many games that they couldn't have him out there. And like, you know, the Sixers had enough shooting out there, especially without Ben. But even still, they weren't guarding him. You know, they just weren't guarding him, and they shouldn't guard him. And he did some good cutting. And when Harden first got here, they were like, you know, he was the role man with Harden a couple times, and that was good. And even the defense, you know, like he would sort of fall asleep sometimes, or he would take too many chances, and he would foul a little bit too much. And so I, you know, the problem with me for replacing Ben, and Ben's such an incredible defender, is that he's not the kind of defender that you can just put on another team's best player and just leave him there. You know, like, he's not at that level. You know, he's not like the kind of one-on-one man defender where you can just sort of, because he's going to take chances and he's going to get behind somebody and try to, you know, rear view contest it. And it's just like, it's a dangerous game that he plays that, and he's not strong enough really to post defend somebody like Ben can. So, you know, I thought it was up and down. And if the season didn't end the way that it did, I would still be really disappointed in nothing happening on offense. And really worried about, like, what are they supposed to do if they guard him this way? I probably wouldn't feel as much like, boy, they really have to figure out what to do with him with, like, that roster spot, because you just can't rely on him at this point, because it just went to total shit. But it's disappointing, you know. I think I was overall disappointed in, like, the lack of consistency on both ends and the lack of, like, improvement on offense. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Still, like, incredible skills, and like I wished for more consistency on defense, stepping up into that role, and was disappointed that nothing seemed to get any better on offense. So what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. It's really hard to be like semi-objective after the vaccine and the way he just like completely tanked in the playoffs. He like self-admittedly lost his confidence, which is just like a bummer, honestly. That's gotta suck for him. Like, especially when you know that you're just like in your head and you can't get out of it. So hopefully a break is good for him. There's a couple like points in the season where I thought that he had kind of like developed a consistent three-pointer. Like that he would have a couple game stretches where he would like hit one or two and like a couple games in a row. And I was like, if you can give me like 9-12 points a night, like we don't need like a crazy amount, but that would be great. But then it would just like fall off again. I think he's gone in the off season, but if he like all he would need to do, I feel like, is get like a little bit stronger. He's got like crazy like wingspan, like just get stronger and get a corner three. And then I think that he is like a valuable rotational player again. But the lack of consistency this year, it's like, if you can't, like, Ben was a consistent defender. He was not a consistent offensive player, but like a very consistent defender. So if Matisse was asked to step up into that role and he just doesn't have the consistency that Ben did, which makes it hard. Then we have like a kind of a gaping defensive hole. I think honestly that like at points, like luckily that Maxey made the jump that he did both on defense and offense, because I think it could have gotten like pretty ugly at certain games without a defensive presence like Ben. I think they kind of like pieced together the holes of the boat through different people. But it would have been nice if Matisse could have made like a much bigger portion of that hole. And I don't think that he necessarily did. But yeah, if he got stronger and developed a consistent corner three, I think that I would be happy to have him back. I don't know if he'll do that, but I don't think he'll be around to see it. So that's...
Yeah, you know, we come to find out that he is not fully vaccinated and cannot play in Toronto. And he basically says that he got one shot, found out that that is not fully protective, and didn't get the second shot. And they ask him about this, and he basically says that he didn't see enough benefits. He doesn't think there's any harm, but he didn't see enough benefits in doing it. And like, you know, obviously we think everybody should get the vaccine, but like the fact that he's not even staunchly against it, or, you know, not that any of this would make it better, but like it all just seems so stupid. You know, like it all seems so stupid. And then he is effectively is choosing to abandon his teammates in a first round series. Hey, we're not gonna do that. In a first round series. And they're already undermanned, you know, they're already somewhat, you know, behind the eight ball. Once Joel gets hurt and they have a thin roster as it is. And you know, he just sort of opts to not play for them. And he's sort of shrugging his shoulders about it. So, you know, the fact that he, you know, and after the season, he says he feels fine about his decision. And he says that is an inflection point, that it totally screwed him up. And he just looked terrible in the playoffs the whole time. You know, he couldn't hit anything, and not that he usually makes shots anyway, but he just, his defense was not consistent. And so that not being able to rely on him, and he's not like, you know, Kyrie was anti-vax and could just come in and, you know, score 40 points. You know, he's a star player and he gets a certain level of latitude in the NBA and with the Nets. But Matisse is like, you know, he's getting 15 minutes in the playoffs, if that, you know. And so I think it really, the fans turned on him for sure. And I wonder how his teammates feel about it. So that was, I think, at least for me, a huge moment where it was like, fuck this, man. Like, we're already in a precarious position in this series and we need every last guy. And you're just choosing to fucking not. And you're just kind of like, yeah, I didn't really want to get the second one. I got the first one and I didn't want to get the second one. And it's like, this sucks. Like, first of all, everybody should get it because it helps everybody and it's like a smart thing to do, and you have every resource at your fingertips, and it sends a bad message, and you're also just like, I didn't want to do it, and good luck in Toronto. And it's like, that sucks. So, and then he plays like shit, and also he didn't get better at anything, and it's like, I think it leaves such a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So I don't think that they're going to, we'll talk about the trade stuff, but like, I don't think Darryl's going to give him away. Like, I don't think that as down as fans are on him and maybe some teammates are, I don't think he's going into this offseason thinking, I absolutely have to trade this guy because he's getting paid nothing. Now, they can extend him. I don't see that happening. They can extend him and they can attach him to Tobias to help move that. But like, I think he would trade him for sure, but I don't think he sees this as like a must move Matisse thing. So what do you think of all that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that he shouldn't just give him away. Like, I definitely think that he has a trade value. And as far as the vaccine stuff, I agree. Like, they just compare like someone, and I hate to like put everyone up against the lens of Joel, because Joel is like everyone's favorite and everyone is obsessed with him. And, but everyone can't be Joel, but like watching him play basketball in that, in the Heat series, like I felt like the man was doing everything that he could to win. Like he wasn't particularly playing well, but he was literally like, I felt like his arm could have fallen off and he would have been like, just tape it up. I need to go back in. Like I will play every minute of this game. Like I will run my body into the ground. I will do whatever it takes to win this game. Like I'm pretty sure he was still concussed. He just looked terrible, but he was trying everything he could. And all Matisse had to do was like, get a shot that he doesn't see he doesn't think there's any harm for, to like be there for his team and like do something to help them win. And it's just like, you clearly don't want to win that badly. Like if you think you add any value to this team, you would want to be there so that you could win. And he just doesn't have that. So I'm just like, this isn't really the guy that I want to go to war with in the future playoffs. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of players like said at the podium, like, oh, it's his decision, blah, blah. But like in the back of your head, that has to be back there. Like this guy wasn't prepared to like do whatever it took to go to war with you. Especially when, you know, it's something that the rest of them all did. So like, and he doesn't have any type of strong, like stance against it. Like Kyrie was willing to like sit the whole year out. Like it was, I don't know. And like, just like the whole, like, I don't think anything bad is going to happen. I just don't see like anything great happening. Well, like maybe the great thing is that you can play with your team in Toronto.
Exactly.
So like exactly. I don't understand why that's not enough of a benefit. Exactly. Like that's the benefit.
Playing basketball would be one of the benefits.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't care if you don't think it works for like health reasons, even though you could read a study.
Right.
Like maybe playing basketball is the good enough reason. And it wasn't good enough for him. And I think that that's really shitty. And I think, like you said, after that, he kind of completely fell off the rails and it did. Then what happened? Like if Matisse had played great in the Heat series, would it have been like the thing that turned the tide? No, but it's just like a bad optic. And I don't know. I just want guys that will like go to war. Like I look at like last night, like Marcus Smart, like was like dying and he's like, no, I got to get back out there. Like I want those guys. Like I want Danny Green, who came back on the bench after like destroying his whole knee. Like I want those guys. I don't want these guys that are just like, I'm okay.
Right. And that also, by the way, includes like doing what it takes to get better at something, you know, which he hadn't done. So for his stats, Matisse played in 66 games. He had 50 starts because he really was the starter for Danny. And then I think when it became apparent, now part of this is like Doc and Daryl, like they knew about his vaccination status for a long time. So both of them could have done way better in preparing for the Toronto series in A, starting Danny more ahead of time, and B, getting somebody else on the bench off the scrap heap or through a second round pick, whatever you got to do, who can play wing minutes off the bench to help out for when Matisse isn't there. So they didn't prepare for that either. So anyway, he played 66 games, 50 starts, 5.7 points, 1.7 steals, 1.1 blocks per game. He 50% from the field, 31% from three on 2.2 attempts per game. He played 25 minutes a game. He did shoot 79% from free throws, less than one attempt per game. As for his contract, he's heading into the last official year of his rookie deal. So he is now rookie extension eligible. He can get the 5-year max. So we'll see if that happens. This year, his contract, if he is not extended here or if they don't change anything on that, the club did exercise this fourth year, which is worth $4.3 million. So it is still a cheap year on this contract, which is, in terms of trades, there's really just not a lot of salary that you're matching on that. So, you know, you have to trade him with other guys in order to get stuff with it. A tricky situation. You know, the last thing that we can talk about here is sort of going forward. You know, I'd like them to trade him because I think that he probably is worth more to other teams than he is on like a Joel Embiid team, given just what I think makes more sense for them going forward. I do think I don't think that he's like radioactive. I don't think that like, as sort of over him as I am, I don't think that like they absolutely must get off him, but with how few assets they really have and how much I think they need to improve the roster, I think it's hard to see a way that they can improve this roster in a big way this summer and not trade him, you know, because I won't trade Maxey. I'd like them to get off Tobias, and they have basically nothing else of value. And I do think Matisse has value around the league. So it's hard for me to imagine them getting better this offseason, also with no money, and not trading him. So I don't know what that looks like. And to me, like the only way that I can really see it is attaching him with Tobias or a three-way trade with, you know, him and Tobias, you know, going elsewhere. But as I said, I really don't think that, you know, Darryl's in the position with like a whatever 25-year-old all defense guy 2 years in a row feeling like, well, I must trade him because he, you know, sucked in the playoffs and is a weirdo about the backseat, you know. So that's my guess. So if you put a percentage on it, what do you think that he's here and he's not here? I would think probably 65% he's not here. Mainly because of how few they have, how little they have to spend in terms of improving the team. But what about you? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I would say I was going to say like 65% he is here, because I still think that in order for them to improve the roster, like they have to get off that Tobias contract. They have to turn it into like multiple players. And I just don't know if anyone's going to do it. Like, I don't know how we're getting off of it. And then I think if we do get off of it, that I think then Matisse is like included. So it's more of like a percentage that I think we'll be able to get off the Tobias contract. I do think he has more value than he did in previous, this is Tobias, more value than he did in previous off seasons, because he just played really, really well in the playoffs. So like my optimism for getting off of it is higher now than it was like last summer. It's just such a big contract for like not a max player, and it's just going to be hard. But I think that's like the big thing that we need to do, because I want to turn Tobias into like three other role players. Like that's what I want.
Yeah. Well, we will see. You know, it's a bummer to see the way that his Sixers career could be ending here.
Maybe you should make more YouTube videos again. He stopped making them, and then he got less fun.
For him to, I think it's going to be tough to fire up the blog at this point.
Turn the comments off. I need some. Like, just, I don't know.
He's going to, no comments. No comments. it's going to be, it'll be definitely strange if this is the way that his Sixers career ends here. But we'll just see. We'll see what else happens. Who do you have in these series right now? Obviously, the Warriors are now up 2-0. Like the Mavs were down 2-0 in their last series as well. And the Heat just went up 2-1. So who do you got?
I think it'll be Warriors, Heat. I mean, I actually think it'll be Warriors Celtics, but I won't pick the Celtics to win on principle, so therefore I think it will be Warriors Heat.
Yeah, so you're rooting, you can't root for the Celtics ever, right? No. Even though we lost to the Heat, you have to root for the Heat.
Yeah. I just can't do it, so.
Well, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And follow Gastro Blues Pod, Dern Girl, Steve J. Lippman, D.A. Peltz, 13. The YouTube is the Gastro Blues Pod, a Sixers podcast. We love you. Be safe and be great. And that's it.